And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive whatever questions that you might have. So friends, some churches start to slow down after Easter, and for some reason, ours ramps up. We have a lot of great things going on here. Just a reminder, we are serving at St. Joseph House of Hospitality this month. Sign-ups are out on the kiosk. Two notes about next Sunday. First, dust off your kilts and your other tartan, because we will be celebrating with bagpipes and drums the Kirken of the Tartan next Sunday. And also following worship next Sunday, the Jamaica orientation. I know the 2018 crew has not graduated yet, but for those who are thinking about going to Jamaica as graduating seniors in 2019, we have our first question and answer, very short, gathering together next Sunday. And we have a few other announcements, and then I'll make a few notes about today. Let's see. I know Larry and Kathy are somewhere. Come on up.
Good morning. It's time and talent time. It's time and talent time. Please put your name on the line. It's time and talent time. Oh, yeah. If you know that melody, raise your hand. Yeah, well, my older sister taught it to me, just so you know. Okay, it's from Howdy Doody. So, friends, it's time for us to do our time and talent surveys again. And there's so many time and talents that each one of you can bring to our church and community. And so in our Harbinger this month, you're going to find this bright green, lovely lime green copy of your survey. You can bring it into church, and I'll have a box for you to set it, or you can give it right to me. That would be just fine as well. We are also, Larry and I are teaming up today. We're like the dynamic duo. We're going to have a table out in the narthex. One side of it is for the time and talent, so if you want to get her done, I've got pens and copies. Okay, and if you want the flea market, you will hear Larry, and here he goes.
Morning. Fortunately for you, I'm not going to try to sing. The fourth annual flea market starts on June, or will be on June 2nd. Whether you want to be a vendor, there are registration forms in the narthex, or just come and partake of all the goodies I'm sure there'll be for sale. If you have any questions, please see me. Thank you.
Wow, that is awesome. A note about worship this morning, we have the joy to welcome Rochester's all-in brass band. If you arrived a few minutes before worship, you had a chance to hear them getting ready, and you can learn more about who they are and what they're doing by taking a look at the announcement in your bulletin. One of the great joys we have of being a church family is welcoming organizations and groups into the space here. The All-In Brass Band has been rehearsing here in the sanctuary. You didn't even know they were here for a number of weeks now. And they asked, well, how can we give back? And I said, Sunday morning, come share and worship with us. So we're grateful to have you all. Thank you so much and welcome. Also, please note that today we are celebrating Katie's last Sunday in her ministry with us, and there will be a reception following worship with cake, lots of cake. But now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to welcome our holy God.
Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Come to worship Jesus Christ, risen forever. Come to grasp hope in the face of fear.
Come to find forgiveness for your sins.
Come to release your doubts into the very presence of God.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
In the time that has passed since Easter, have we become a changed people? Have we lived with hope and promise, trusting in the risen Christ? Or have we been more like the earliest disciples, still gathered behind locked doors out of fear? Trusting in a second chance God who meets us as dedicated yet doubting followers, let us confess our sins in the presence of Christ and one another. Gracious and loving God, the resurrection of your Son has not pulled us far from our old ways. Our faith becomes fear in the face of the world's troubles. We trust more in the power of the way things are than in the new life you grant. We hesitate to speak out against wrong, convinced it will do no good. We excuse ourselves from chances to help others, fearing for our security. We stay busy with small concerns to avoid facing our shortcomings. Holy God, forgive our fears and doubts. Plant Easter seeds in us to push through the packed dead ground of old habits. Transform our suffering into greater faithfulness. Amen. Even the hardest and most unchanging rock gives way to the persistent dripping of water. In the same way, God's continual grace washes away our failings and shapes us into faithful disciples of Christ. By the waters of baptism, God forgives all our sins. Let go of old ways and live new lives of confident faith, abundant hope, and overflowing love. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Please come join me up front. Everybody have a good spring break? Did you have fun? Did you go anywhere special? A beach? That's very special. That's great. Where did you go? To Leap and Laugh? Oh, that's nice. Where did you go? To your grandma's? That's great. Did anybody else go to sleep for like a really long time? Yeah. That was a pretty good feeling too. That was today?
I didn't.
You didn't? Well, good. I'm glad you had some fun. All right, so I've got a question for you guys. I have a map here. Where do we live? New York. Yep, okay. Rochester. Where is that? United States. Yep, definitely on there. Do you think you can point to where we live? The star. Yeah, I made it a little easy. This star right here, that's where we live in Rochester. And this second star is where I'm going to move. I'm going to move all the way here to Davenport, Iowa. You guys see that little star? Yep, that's where I'm going to move. Because I'm going to work at another church there. You guys ever moved before? Yeah. Yeah, you've been to visit other places. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good trip. Okay, so we know where we live right now, and we know where I'm going to live soon. So question, where does God live? On this map, where's God? Everywhere! Man, it's like you guys studied for this one. That is exactly right. God is all over the place. You're definitely right. God is going to stay with you here, and God's going to go with me to Iowa, to my new church. So what, yeah? And God is watching us. That's right. And God keeps loving us. So what we're going to do so that we can remember that God is with us is we're going to take Jesus with us. You guys remember Flat Jesus from a couple years back? Yeah. So here is our picture of Jesus, and everyone gets to take one home. And so when you go on vacation, when you go to Myrtle Beach or to Grandma's house, you bring your Jesus and you take a picture and share it with your church family. So we all get to celebrate all the cool places you go and all the cool places God goes with you. And when I've moved, then I'm going to share my picture of Jesus with you guys too, so you can see my new church. That sound okay? Okay. So now, multi-step process. I'm going to hand these out so everybody gets a packet, and then you guys are going to stay up here, and you're going to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you before I leave. That sound okay? All right, so let's hand these out. And maybe get a couple helpers.
invite the rest of the GPC youth who have been active in youth programming, youth group, Sunday school, however you are a part of this church family, come on up as well. So all GPC youth, and you all are going to still sit right up here. And I'm also going to invite, but I'll let you decide your comfort level getting off the floor. You don't get that choice. The youth advisors, Sunday school teachers, and also members of the youth team, if you all want to come up as well, you are welcome to do so. And or if you're more comfortable, sit along the edge of the pews. All right. All right, you guys good? You guys stay right here? Hi, my friend. All right.
Yeah.
Has everyone got Jesus?
Church folks, we're going to have these right out there on the magazine rack because I know other people might be traveling too.
So one of the very awesome traditions that I love about Gates Presbyterian Church is that every time people go on mission work projects, what do for them? Do people remember? What do? Yes, we do. And we also pray for them, right? We pray for them. And we do a special prayer called a commissioning. And so today, as Katie is celebrating her last Sunday with us, we are going to say goodbye and also commission Katie to her new ministry in Iowa. So will you all help me with that? When I ask you to repeat, will you repeat? And for the readers among us, there is a liturgy in the bulletin. Because friends, our church family is constantly changing. People come and go, babies are born, and children grow up. People commit themselves to one another, and loved ones and friends among us come to the end of their lives. Individuals move into our community and our church life, and others leave us, moving to new places, experiences, and opportunities. And it is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, of endings, and beginnings. So today we share this time of farewell with the Reverend Katie Stewart, our associate pastor. In September 2014, that was a long time ago, 4 years ago, she began her service here at GPC. Katie came to us at a time of great transition in the life of our church, and we are grateful for her sense of courage and call to us.
I thank GPC, its members and friends, for the love, kindness, and support shown me these last 4 years. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made, and I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. And as I leave, I carry with me all the things that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to minister in Iowa. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us as your departure.
I forgive you and accept your gratitude, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God.
Do you? The members and friends of Gates Presbyterian Church, release the Reverend Katie Stewart from her duties as associate pastor. Do you offer your encouragement for her ministry soon to begin as associate pastor at First Presbyterian Church of Davenport, Iowa? And do you, Katie, release this congregation from turning to you as pastor?
I do, with God's help.
And do you offer your encouragement for their continued ministry here and for the relationship with others who will come to serve?
I do, with God's help.
All right, here's where I need all of your help, okay? So why don't everyone who's up here stand? You all can stand as well. So we're going to do something that is very special to our church and the life of many churches, which is to lay hands on Katie. And I wanted to make, so we're going to have Katie Friends. Come up here, and I want to make sure the kids have the first opportunity. If you remain in the pews, just reach out and, as comfortable, touch the hand or shoulder of someone nearby you. All right, ready? Come on. You all come up this way. Come on up this way. Come on up this way. There we go. Come on. So just put your hand on the shoulder of someone in front of you. Come on. Ready? Ready? You want to touch?
Yeah, too late by now, dude.
Touch Graham. There we go. Good job. Do you want to touch Elliot's shoulder? Nope. Okay. That's okay. You don't have to. It's all about choice. Has everyone got one? Friends, let us pray together. God of grace, whose everlasting love for all is trustworthy, help each of us to trust the future, which rests in your care. The time we were together in your name saw our laughter and tears, our hopes, disappointments, and accomplishments. Confirm in us these treasured memories, even as we move in new directions, until that promised time when we will be completely one with you and with each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And children, sixth grade and under, if you all want to head to Sunday school with your flat Jesus, you are welcome to. And I know we also have guests worshiping with us, the children and families of the brass band, and you're welcome to head to Sunday school if you want to. It's a time to have great conversation and fellowship together.
First reading of the word comes from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when a kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessings, life forevermore.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, people came, and Jesus then stood among them. and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Now, a great deal of theological energy has been spent over the centuries pondering the audacity of Thomas's request to see Jesus again. This poor guy, he's been mislabeled a doubter, an unbeliever, and at times even a heretic. So I am very grateful for the words of wise preachers and theologians who have come to admire Thomas, to admire him for remembering to hold Jesus accountable for what he promised to Thomas and all of us earlier in the gospel, when Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that by knowing him, we will know God. "From now on, you do know God and have seen him," Jesus said. But here's the thing. Thomas hasn't seen him. It was just earlier in the day that Mary Magdalene returned from the empty tomb and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And now it is evening, and the disciples had their own resurrection encounter with Jesus, and they proclaimed to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Now, one of the aspects the Gospel of John that I really love is that he lives into the opportunity to share the stories with us that Easter isn't over the moment that Jesus comes out of the tomb. This Gospel writer shares multiple stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances. I find them to be a helpful reminder that Jesus meets us all where we are. Again and again and again. And this is to fulfill the abiding promise of the good news of the gospel, that takes us right back to the very beginning of where John starts the story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came, he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. We have seen the glory, for the Word became flesh like ours. Tall and lanky flesh, short, squat, round, lean, average, whatever that might be. Flesh with tattoos and piercings, gasp, I know. But flesh with scars, with sciatica, with acne, with arthritis. Stooped and aging flesh, smooth, athletic flesh, sick and dying flesh. Flesh in remission and recovery, worn and weary. And hopefully even flesh that might be a bit rested and energized. And thankfully, we are more than just the created flesh. Humans, we are body and spirit, brains and minds, hearts and love. We need respiration and we crave inspiration. The beautiful music today. We can't exist without the circulation of blood and the connection of relationships. We are biology and biography. What people see is our flesh, but what we want them to know are our stories. We are these embodied spirits, emotional, spiritual, somehow always physical. They fire across the synapses of our brains, and all these emotions register in our bodies as well. The anxiety that shallows our breathing and speeds up our hearts, fear that churns in our stomachs, and loss that sends tears running down our cheeks, wonder that widens our eyes, and joy that lightens our steps, hope that lifts our heads. One of the most audacious claims of the gospel is God's utter commitment to be with us by becoming one of us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. All these parts of us and who we are, the fear-filled, anxiety-ridden, broken, scarred parts of us. So Thomas not only wants to see those parts of Jesus, his hands, his side, he wants to touch them. He wants to touch the places where Jesus, he knew so well, was hurt. We've often thought this was Thomas demanding proof that Jesus came back from suffering, the pain. But what if he's holding out to touch for himself that Jesus hasn't come back separated from all that? What if Thomas needs to see for himself that the risen one is the same one who died, who has not come back all healed up and good as new, but who has returned to his friends with visible evidence that he will never leave what is most human about him? If that's a possibility, then perhaps Thomas isn't looking for physical proof of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He's looking for that existential proof that the one whom God raised up is the same one who was damaged beyond all human repair, that he is the Word made flesh and lived among us, flesh that bears the scars of bringing the good news to the poor, giving sight to the blind, freedom to the captives, and challenging the economic and political and religious oppression of the people. Flesh that will never discount the scars incurred working for peace and justice here or in the hereafter. So Thomas reaches out and touches the physical consequences of injustice, of state-sponsored violence, the silence and desertion of friends. And it's by those scars that Thomas comes to believe that this person really is the friend he traveled with, the Jesus who loved and laughed, who wept with his friends, who drank at weddings, who taught crowds and argued with lawyers and high-up religious officials. And Thomas' response is to see in this human person the God who is always and forever for us, with us, even to the point of being scarred by us. Otherwise, what should Thomas believe? That Jesus' new life in God has nothing to do with the old one? That faith means seeing the wounded world as a passing illusion? You see, Thomas wasn't having it. He wanted not only to see, but to reach out his real hand and touch Jesus' real wounds. Only then would he believe that it mattered, that Jesus' resurrected life meant something for every life, no matter how hurt and scarred. This morning, we had the opportunity to reach out our hands, to place them on Katie and one another. In the Presbyterian tradition, we do this as a symbolic expression of the gifts God imparts upon us to share in ministry. Gifts that are lived out in this Easter world as we put our hands on the marks of its suffering to bring good news and hope to all of God's children. It was 4 years ago that we had the honor of being the community that placed our hands upon Katie as she was ordained as a minister of Word and Sacrament. She joined us in our ministry here at GPC and then at Laurelton Presbyterian Church. And even though she assured me she did not endure any physical scars, we know that ministry and life doesn't happen without them. Katie, we are so grateful for your willingness to speak and practice peace in the face of injustice, to be a comforting presence to those who are lonely, to have grieved with us in times of sorrow, to celebrate with us in great times of joy, and to be patient with us when we got hung up on the way we've always done things. What a blessing it has been to see the risen Lord working in and through you during your time here. This morning we have placed our hands upon Katie as she takes up God's call in a new place. We won't necessarily see how that is working out for her and her church in Davenport, Iowa, but we are confident that you will continue to bear witness to the wounded body of Christ in your life and your ministry, just as we will continue to do so here. In fact, each and every one of us will see and touch this wounded world in many different ways and in many different places. Most likely doing so from those places where we ourselves have been scarred the most. For we are flesh. We are our relationships. Every body and every relationship is where and how we love one another, how we join with Jesus Christ who trampled down death so that we could become to one another what God is to us, the embodiment of justice and mercy, peace, hope, and joy. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Now is the time in our service when we get to celebrate all the things that bring us joy and lift them up in prayer and together. Lift up all the people we love who need God's special care today. What is something they'd like to share?
Lauren Henderberg. Prayers for my husband and his extended family. Family dynamics in the way, but the matriarch of the family, Nana Grace, passed away on Thursday night, and just prayers for the entire Domicello family. Thank you.
Yeah. Prayers for Nana Grace.
We would ask you please to pray for Walt and his family in the loss of his sister Judy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Janice Bilalovic. I have a prayer of joy. My sister, who has been having treatments for lymphocytic leukemia, has gotten a clean bill of health and no more treatments.
It's wonderful news.
Paula Sousa, I have a prayer of joy. Jim's sister has been given a break from chemotherapy, and she doesn't have to go back to Roswell till the end of June.
Okay.
So that's wonderful news.
That's great.
Sally Christensen, a couple of things. First is a huge prayer of joy that our newest grandson, grandson number 5, was born on March 25th, which is the day before my birthday, so I'm especially excited about his birthday. He is healthy in every way, and the family is doing well. Also, prayers of concern. Steve's mother has got some serious health issues right now that will be an ongoing situation. And continuing prayers for my mom and his dad, who are both in nursing homes. Thanks.
This is the first opportunity I've had to give thanks to the congregation for your prayers and support and for the safe return of our Guatemala mission team a few weeks back. And it was a great trip, and we look forward to sharing that with you in a second hour soon. We haven't set the date yet, but we will. Secondly, prayers for Peter Derry. He had to go back into the hospital on Wednesday afternoon, and he's going to be transferred tomorrow to back to Monroe Community Hospital for more therapy. And also his wife, Irene Derry, for it's very stressful on her for being a caregiver, so keep her in your prayers. And also, I have a cousin who's going to be undergoing some surgery, too, this week. So keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Some prayers from our Sunday school children. Prayers for Nana Grace, who died on Friday, for her family. Prayers for grandparents who have passed away and for those who have had surgery. Prayers for good recovery. Prayers for an aunt to stop smoking, and a whole lot of joys. I'm pretty sure this one's a joy, going back to school. I'm going to count it. Going back to Sunday school and the happiness of getting to spend vacation time with Mom. A lot of things to give thanks for.
We'd like to have Carol Ann in our prayer. She was with us in San Antonio, took a fall and broke two bones in her hand. She may get mad for us telling that. But anyway, she's got 6 weeks in a cast, and certainly, you know, living on her own probably has some challenges dealing with that cast in her hand. So prayers for healing for her.
We will not mention which one of you told, and we will definitely be praying for her. Anything else? Some folks were asking me, Katie, this is your last Sunday, why aren't you preaching, and you keep putting cards up here and giving me stuff, and it's because I don't want to cry through the whole sermon, so deal with it. Let us all pray together. Almighty God, the world reverberates with your praise, resonates with your love and the wonder of your resurrection. Death could not hold you, and in your life is our rebirth. Decay is not the final word, for you are the everlasting word, the eternal source of all mercy and love. Thank you that you stay with us this morning, comforting us with your care, enlivening us with your grace, and encouraging us with your love. Remind us to be grateful for all you have done and all you are doing through us to bring your kingdom closer. Holy God, you know that sometimes we feel far from your presence. The discord of illness, addiction, anxiety, and hatred drowns out your voice. We ask for your continued presence with all those in our lives who need to feel your love. May we be sources of comfort and support for those burdened with worries, struggling with finances, or in need of respite caring for their loved ones. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world, sharing the life-giving news of your grace and caring for our neighbors with compassion. We especially lift up places of war and violence in our world and ask for your help to enact peace, to share our plenty with others. God, we also ask for your guidance for GPC as they prepare for times of change. Help them to support new staff with love and bless their ministry as a congregation, as you have so many times before. Holy God, cleanse us, restore us, refresh us, and inspire us, so that we will realize again our need for each other and for you. May we be your community of the resurrection, abundant with life and energy, as we tell of your wonders and sing of your grace. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Friends, everything we have is a gift from God. So let us give back with joy and thanksgiving. Collect our offerings now. Care for God's people.
generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world. Through our witness to your love, we lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will see us to proclaim the embody the gospel. Amen.
Friends, go in peace. Love God and serve your neighbor. Know that everyone you meet is God's child. And every place you go, no matter how near or far, you will always walk in God's love. May the blessing of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.